Welcome to the Addiction Solution Podcast. I'm Michelle Dunbar. Enjoy listening and watching as addiction experts Mark Sheeran and I cover controversial as well as helpful topics on addiction, how to move past it, and other related subjects. As two of the co-founders of the Freedom Model, Mark and I will give you a completely new perspective on the topics that matter to you. We will take to task the Recovery Society's lies and misinformation and replace them with facts, research, and the methods to move on from addiction struggles without 12-step meetings, rehabs, and the shackles of endless recovery. Let's escape the treatment and recovery trap together and learn to be free. Welcome to the truth. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Addiction Solution. I'm Michelle Dunbar.
And I'm Mark Sheeran. And Michelle and I, together with Stephen Slate, wrote this book, The Freedom Model for Addictions, Escape the Treatment and Recovery Trap.
You can find that book at thefreedommodel.org, both the audiobook and the digital form. You can also find the paperback on Amazon and Apple Books and a lot of different online retailers. And yeah, it's very affordable and wonderful if that's what you want to do.
And if you're looking at the podcast visually, right there is the QR code for our free app. And if you're listening to it, you just go to the Play Store and type in the Freedom Model and you can get that free app. It's got all kinds of sample content. And also it has a place. Does it have a place to go to our live events, or do you have to?
Yes. Yeah. You can get access to our live events there. You can get our free eBooks, which is an abridged version of this book. It also has a book that's all about helping someone that's struggling, in the Freedom Model way, so to speak. And it has, some video content as well, that's sample videos up from our workshops, from our online program. It's really a great way to learn a lot more. And you can get access to the masterclass as well, the free masterclass.
So if you want to be a certified Freedom Model coach, go to our live event and learn more about that. And the live events are free.
They
and the
are.
Link is going to be in the description as well. So you can, there's all different ways that you can learn about.
So you can learn about becoming a Freedom Model coach there and learn about becoming an affiliate or joining, you know, the Freedom Model movement in other ways. But you can also learn more about how we help people solve their problem as well. If you just want some information, you have some questions, the last 15 minutes of our live event, you talk with us directly.
That's right. So. All right. So today we're going to talk about this new trend in the addiction world. People are seeing AI as addictive, right?
They're using it for all kinds of things.
Yeah.
There are people that are actually using it as confidant, as therapist, as a friend,
as a sex partner.
Yeah.
Pornography, right? With AI generated imagery.
Yeah.
So it's really an interesting topic. And I wanna start this conversation with a prediction. And I do this every once in a while.
I've
been in this industry now, the addiction help industry, for 36 years. So one of the things that I'm really good at is figuring out the trends of where something is going to go. So this AI thing is going to grow and grow and grow into a sort of almost like a social contagion for a little while, a few years. And what's going to happen is people are going to get hysterical in both the claims about its abilities.
Oh, right.
Are going to be ridiculously overblown. And then people are going to struggle, and we'll talk about some of the trends where people are really struggling and becoming disillusioned with it. So that trend will rise along with the overblown view of it. The definition of it being an addictive thing will grow into legendary status, even though things aren't addictive. That's sort of a strange piece of mythology. And then, like all things and all trends, no matter how exciting and revolutionary, it will become boring and be replaced by something else, some new version of itself. So And then the hysteria will go away and that trend will end. And then it'll be the next thing that's addictive and takes over people's lives. But the on the upslope of that, there's going to be a lot of hysteria. And that hysteria is going to, there'll be sort of a counter revolution behind the scenes of treatment for AI addiction. You're going to see that happen. You're going to see it. It will turn out to be like a religion, like a lot of these things do. But so that's my prediction. The good news is, like all things in time, they all sort of find the rightful place and people figure out that it's not the end of the world.
Well, I want to talk first of all about a tragic story that had to do with, I believe, ChatGPT specifically. And I'm not knocking ChatGPT. I use it. I think it's a great tool, as long as you understand its limitations. But this story is so tragic. It was a man was testifying, it looked like in court, about his son committed suicide after basically using ChatGPT as his therapist slash confidant. His son was young. I don't know if he was late teens, early 20s. Obviously very troubled, had been in and out of, therapy, on medications for antidepressants, that kind of thing. And really, a lot of people now, I do know, and I've worked with people that use ChatGPT to and AI to get what they think is valid, accurate information. And this poor young man started talking to it like it was a therapist, putting in the things he was thinking, asking it for advice. And when you went back, when he decided to commit suicide, they went back and they were looking at his online activities and found this whole conversation with ChatGPT, which basically concluded with, yeah, ChatGPT agreed with him that his life was futile and he should kill himself. Okay. And when you believe that this entity is human or human-like, which is what the marketing is telling you, right? When you believe that, well, then that becomes really valid. And I want you to think about it. If you're a therapist, a sentient being, you would never reinforce
suicide.
You would never do that. Now, I personally think that some therapists unknowingly do that when they start prescribing a bunch of medications and telling people they're permanently broken. Look, I think
that's unwittingly, though.
That's unwittingly. You're not telling somebody you should kill yourself.
Right.
You're saying, with all of these wonderful things, we can help make your life manageable. Just so you know, the freedom model says you have control. You are your solution. You can change the way you're thinking, right. But only you can do that, right?
That's right.
There is a solution. So you are all powerful in your mind. But when you're talking to a computer, a software package, it can only spit back to you what you feed it.
Right. So AI collects the information from the algorithm and your search your history.
Yeah, your online activities.
Right. And then what you're saying and the questions you're posing. And then it will slowly start to reflect, because it can't help itself because it's a machine, because that's the parameters of a machine. It doesn't have problem-solving capability. It doesn't have sentience. So once again, if you've listened to our podcast over and over again, what we do in culture is we give human-like properties.
Yes.
To sentient things. We do it even with
animals. To non-sentient things.
Sorry. And we even do it with animals. Animals at least are living and have some sort of sentience,
they
right?
They do.
They have some, but it's obviously much less. But we tend to even give them human-like abilities or qualities,
right.
And we believe them. When the truth is, if you didn't feed your cat, they'd probably eat you. So my
a cat's not going to build a space shuttle,
right?
Okay. Right. Like
it doesn't know. So,
and it can't stop you from, like, it's not going to sit and have a conversation with you to tell you that life is worth living.
That's right. So all of these things that humans attribute powers to is a misattribution. And the AI thing is really deeply misattribution because
it sure is.
Because it all it can do as a computer program is collect the information and then spit out eventually what you're already thinking if you work with it enough. It's not creating anything new. And I know there's a lot of arguments that it does create, it doesn't create outside the sentience of the owner or the person driving the program. And I know there's a whole bunch of hysteria around the fact that the machines are going to take over and they're going to outthink us. That's not going to happen. So I get the hysteria. I get all of that. But the unfortunate part is that because people believe, this is the important part.
Yeah.
Because people believe this stuff, that it is sentient, that it is thinking, they become really deeply involved in these things. So I don't want to downplay this. This kid died.
Yeah.
And there'll be more of that.
There will be.
So in the cultural learning curve of anything, it's like when they developed a car, people didn't understand speed and safety. Mm. And if you look at the accident rates of a Model 4T, right, that model, that original mass-produced car, people died a lot because they were used to a horse. And so in the automotive revolution, you saw mass death. And then eventually they figured out safety standards. And over the course of the automobile, you saw that it was less so and it became normal to drive safely, relatively safely. It's going to be the same thing with AI. It's going to be the same thing with any of these things. Same thing with fentanyl.
Yes.
Right? On the front end of the curve where people were learning this thing and the chemists and the backyard chemists were sort of throwing this stuff around out in the public, you had a lot of dying going on. And now you see that it's leveling off and it's very predictable, these things. If you look at trends over a long period of time, there's a waveform with each new drug or new trend. And whether it's a car, whether it's AI or whatever. So is it an addiction? It can, I guess, in the classic sense of, is it compelling you to kill yourself? No. You're engaging with a non-sentient thing, giving it more credit than it actually earns because it's not sentient, but you believe it is. In some way, the language, just the label, artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
It's
like
not,
it has intelligence. It does not.
That's right.
It's a computer program that is running. That's a data collection device that organizes data. That's all that it is. It organizes data and makes conclusions, draws conclusions based on the data it's collecting, which is limited. So something like ChatGPT, when you're feeding it by talking to it, it is on your device. So it's also collecting all your other data from all the other things you've done. It's collecting you. It's giving you back what you're feeding it.
That's right.
Okay. So now I want to go to the addiction side of this because language matters. How we view these things matters. So while, you know, the overdose rates and death rates have leveled off, it is not because we've changed the way we talk about these things. It's because we've adjusted, right? So
the user has adjusted.
Mm-hmm. There's testing now. They can test for fentanyl-laced drugs. There is Narcan, which is available everywhere. These are all wonderful things. But the rate of addiction itself has increased and continues to increase because of the beliefs surrounding it. So the danger that we're going to see with AI, and we're going to see more of these deaths,
is
because when the hysteria begins, which it started already, that this thing is taking over our children. It's taking over. There is what's called a social contagion. And so people start walking into that going, this is going to addict me. This is going to, but I'm going to do it because it's so alluring and wonderful. You create a taboo around it. You create something that isn't there. Okay.
And so I would not advise that an 8-year-old shoot heroin.
No.
I would not advise that an 8-year-old drink a bunch of beers, right? And to the same degree, I wouldn't advise that you take a 5 to a 10-year-old and put them on AI in school and have them
have the AI be their teacher.
Yeah. And I can see that this is going in that direction. So that's going to be a catastrophic nightmare, because it's going to make the entire education system sloppy and lazy. And ultimately,
like, it already there is almost there.
Yeah. I mean, it'll just make it completely incompetent.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those things where, it has a lot of great benefits, but there's responsible use of anything. Yeah. You know, I wouldn't put an 8-year-old in a car and say, go tearing down the highway either. Right. And these are common sense things, but with AI, we do have kids on phones and tablets tapping into this, and it is becoming part of the education system throughout our country anyway. I don't know what's happening in other countries. This is all pretty new. But so you're going to have the proliferation of it and then the false idea that it's addictive tacked on top, and then it becomes this whole social contagion nightmare. It becomes something that is believed to be true. And the reason these things develop into addictions is because there's all of it is about money.
Yes.
If there wasn't money to be made from all this data collection and manipulation that's happening with AI, it wouldn't exist. It would never have been developed. There's no reason for it, you know? So you have to follow the money. And so I think it's going to be pretty brutal on the front end. And it really saddened me to read about that young man, and how he really believed there was an answer there.
Yeah.
That you could just tap into this godlike presence on a keyboard and believe it.
Yeah.
And actually believe it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's so interesting because we all go to Google to ask questions. Right? Like if you're going to ask a question, how old is this actor? You're probably going to get an accurate response, right? If you're going to ask a question about something that is tangible, you're going to get a response. But if you're going to ask a question about
nuanced human behavior,
well, you're going to get somebody else's opinion that may or may not be accurate.
Yeah.
Because you can't ask a computer a question about nuanced human behavior and get an accurate response. It doesn't work that way. Human behavior research is pretty interesting. I mean, we've done it our entire adult lives, okay? And it is far from settled science. I mean, if you read about for example, if you go online and you're looking for help for a PMO problem, which I'm going to say it for our audience is porn, masturbation, orgasm, you're going to find stuff that looks like settled science. And it is far from that. Not only is it far from that, it's not supported by data and actual research that's been done.
Well, we see this with ChatGPT or the other AI protocols or whatever you call it. I don't even know. With the disease of addiction.
Yeah.
If you ask it questions about the disease of addiction, it reinforces it. If you ask questions about the freedom model, it'll reinforce the freedom model. If you pit the two against each other, it comes up with a lot of mixed messaging.
It sure does.
And because the messaging of human beings on that topic is mixed. And so there's a bunch of searches and a bunch of dialogue on these various different platforms where people are confused about things. So the search engine or the AI picks up on all of that misinformation and just regurgitates and pukes it out. So it's actually, it's not all that intelligent. It's just incredibly fast.
It is.
It's great for marketing.
Really marketing great. Copy. That is the best use of it by far.
Yep. And the reason is because you know your product and you can type in. Now, we don't use it a ton. We try to be as authentic as possible. We use it to be efficient. And then to modify like an email
right.
we do or something.
Everything but, we do, we have to put our sentience into it.
We do because AI gets it wrong.
They get it wrong. You know? It gets it wrong a lot of the times, but it can give us ways of saying things that may be more pleasant to the person reading.
Or more efficient and better grammar and things like that. So it is a tool.
It's a tool.
It's a great tool. But here's why AI will never replace the therapist or the other human being. And it's really simple. Mm-hmm. The human mind is driven by free will. In other words,
yes.
The human mind is limitless. AI will always be at the mercy of its owner in some way,
That's
shape,
right.
or form, because it doesn't have the capacity to have a limitless idea generator. Ours is limitless. You can literally think of anything. There are no parameters around the human mind. None. Zero. It is really godlike. That's what free will is. Now, some may argue about free will, and that's a different topic. But free will exists because we think, and we think freely. We think whatever we want to think at any given point. And that is what sentience is. It's the ability to have a free thinking mind. AI is at the mercy of that because we made it.
That's right.
So regardless, if it were to run itself on its own in some quote unquote intelligent way, ultimately it's still dependent on the ideas of the physical world. And our mind isn't.
That's right.
Our mind can think of the heavenly. It can think of concepts that haven't been thought of. It can have spurious ideas that change the world. AI is still at the mercy of the physical realm. And so so when we start to delve into using it as a therapist, it's only going to navigate in the exchange based on the information right around it, the information that exists already, and the preferences. It's designed for the preferences
That's
of
right.
the customer. It's designed, it's just Google on steroids, man. Whether you like it or not, that's the reality of why these things are built. It's for capitalism. It's to sell products. So it's not going to come up with some beautiful, gorgeous thing. It's going to do whatever it thinks in its algorithm you want to hear.
Yeah.
Which is one of the worst things to do to people, because eventually hearing what you want to hear gets old.
It becomes an echo chamber.
Yeah. That's a great way of saying it.
It is part of the reason, I'm going to say this, it's part of the reason that this country and a lot of the Western world is so polarized right now. And that there are people on both sides of the political spectrum that are considered, you know, extreme, so to speak. And because when you are on social media, whatever it thinks you want to see, it's showing you, it's reinforcing what you believe, right? On your side, both sides are reinforcing what they believe, like to such an extreme that now people don't even want to have conversations. I mean, when we were kids, there was always this joke about when we were kids, that if you're at a holiday dinner, don't talk about politics or religion, right? Like, don't talk about, and it was kind of a ha-ha joke because it could cause problems. Well, now the people don't even get together for holiday dinners.
I know. It's
right.
Well, that was always the rule, but we always did it
we
anyway.
We always did it anyway. It was a joke. It was kind of a running joke. But now people don't get together because I don't talk to that person because they voted this way.
Yeah, silly.
It's
silly, dude.
But I partially think that's somewhat AI social media generated.
No doubt about it, that the narratives and the internet has become just such a cesspool of garbage. And,
oh, so much misinformation
and so much and AI crap.
Yeah.
It's like every three, you know, everybody's using it now, right?
Yeah.
So you can see it. And so there's very little authentic content anymore. It's all generated by these computers. So, but you know, that will sort itself out too.
It sure will.
Because it'll become so homogenized with common ideas and intelligence will narrow slowly. And that's to Michelle's point. It'll narrow down into a pool of what's acceptable. And then what will happen? The human mind, the operator, will simply say, you know what? I'm not watching that shit no more. I'm going to go over here and think this thing. And then that will become the revolution, right? Maybe the revolution will be leaving the internet. And so these things, it's funny because when everybody believed that the earth was flat and then these guys got in boats and went and found out it wasn't.
Right, right.
They were the mavericks. They were the crazy people. And, you know, and you look, and that's where we created the new world. We created the United States, and then all these things happen. But in the process, people died, and in the process, wars were fought. And it's an ugly process, this human sort of progress that we have. It's risky. It's tough. AI will have its day. It will become a tool, but it will be misused too. It will kill people. It won't, but our belief in it will.
Yeah.
And has already. We're seeing that. Will it become a trend? Probably at some point when it hits its peak of misuse. But like everything in the fullness of time, all good things happen. Everything will adjust back to the common good at some level. Or it dies. If it doesn't have a good usefulness, it dies. And then it morphs into something better.
There is one thing, I mean, we're coming up on a half an hour. There is one thing I want people to think about, and that is when I have this like red flags, right, that pop up in my head, when I start seeing a narrative, mm-hmm. when I start seeing something repeated, I go to different social media platforms, like, and I start seeing something repeated and repeated and repeated, that's like, bing,
yeah,
time to think critically.
Yeah.
Time to question this narrative. Now, some of it is because it might be true, but a lot of it, they're trying to sell me something.
Yeah.
They're trying to control me. They're trying to, I'm not a tinfoil hat wearing person. I am not one of these people that has to question everything. I question a lot within my own life and sphere of influence. I mostly stay in my lane with addiction and mental health and behavioral health primarily. But I foray out every once in a while and like foray into politics and into different things where I'm learning. And so I think it's a healthy thing to question something you see repeated over and over and over and over again, because I'm watching people kind of go a little nuts, right? Like I'm watching people say things and I'm like, I can show you about a dozen things that will tell you that's not true. If you're open to seeing it, right? If you're open to seeing it, and they'll say, oh, but I saw this. And I'm like, but your AI is manipulating you. Your feed is, you're being fed this stuff because because
of your insecurities.
Yes.
Because of your questioned insecurities. And anytime you do that, it will feed you the product or the service AI generated.
That's it.
Yeah. You know,
it's designed that way,
you know,
folks.
I see it all the time. And so we now have our coaching certification and we've been doing coaching forever. So on my feed, I have this
endless
AI generated. And people generated companies that are proposing, get your million views on your video. Don't be stupid. Get on the AI revolution. Well, if that was true, every single person would have millions of views. And then that would become meaningless, because a million views, if everybody has it, is no different than one, because we're all equal. So it's like, get your AI expertise now at the beginning. Be the early adopter and win over your competitors. There'll be more millionaires in the next 4 years than any time in human history. Get on the, and when 18 ads come up that say that,
with all different companies,
with all different companies, I'm like, it's all just bullshit.
Yeah.
It's all just bullshit. And so now, I'm not a guy that sticks his head in the sand. I like AI for what it is.
Yes.
I just recognize it for what it is, and I use it for what it is. But I'm not a believer in the religion of it. And that's where people are going to get really disillusioned, and they're not going to get the results they're looking for, which is sad, you know, and they're going to spend a lot of time and a lot of money getting fleeced.
We're going to close this out, and I'm going to tie it into substance use, okay, right now, because just like AI is the tech thing of the day, you know, there's always a substance of the day that's the panacea, that this drug is, you know, psilocybin,
yes,
ketamine, microdosing, you know, marijuana maintenance, or California sober, or whatever you want to call it. These things help us. If you see something that is the panacea that completely discounts your ability to think,
that's so important,
and create, beware, question it. There isn't something that can come from the outside of you and change your mind or control your mind unless you allow it to.
And there's nothing on the outside of you that is more miraculous than a free will driven mind.
That's
that,
right.
You were born with. You were born with three things: free will, the ability to think any way in any circumstance, no matter how difficult. You have autonomy. You have your own thoughts, which allow you to be protected from the thoughts of others and to reject them or accept them or any variation in between. And then you have a positive drive. You're always doing what you think benefits you, always. And these things are immutable, inherent, and they're gifts from the universe or God, whatever you believe. And there isn't anything outside of you that is more miraculous than what's inside of you. You were born with a miracle, and yet people will do just about anything to look for the miracle outside themselves. And I didn't understand this either until I studied the mind, and I realized, oh, I've been choosing all along. Oh, I'm the miracle.
Yes.
And you are too. And that gives you sovereignty. That gives you the ability to overcome anything. And if you doubt this, I always go right back to, there's several books, but Viktor Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning is such a, the first half of that book is so good and so illustrative of the human mind over the physical and what attitude can do and what thinking can do and being critical and finding meaning in your life. You create your meaning. So don't allow some company that's full of shit, has a vested interest in you believing their nonsense and thinking that a computer can think better than you can. That's hyperbole. That's great marketing. That's propaganda. But if you believe it, it becomes real.
Yeah.
So
we're going to close this out with telling you about our free live events. We said it at the beginning. We're going to say it now. If you want to talk with us, if you want to learn more about the Freedom Model, if you want to learn how you can become involved by becoming a certified coach or an affiliate or even just becoming part of our coalition where you talk about the Freedom Model with other people, then come to our free live event. We're doing them every single week. And the last 15 minutes are reserved to answer your questions. So you can, which way? QR code that way. You can click on that QR code if you're watching this on YouTube, or you can go to thefreedommodel.org/live-events and see our upcoming dates for those free live events. And if you want to talk with us directly, if you want to set up a private consultation for coaching, you can call us at 1-888-424-2626, which is at the top of the screen over there. Or you can email us at info@thefreedommodel.org.
All right, everybody, we would love to coach you.
We would. We'd love to talk with you. Thank you, everyone. See you next time.
Take care.